Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here in Blog Talk Radio. Hello, welcome. Call in now. Get a free reading. Call in right now at 646-721-9031. Or for a private reading, please give us a call at 740-500-8863. Actually, I forgot one of the numbers. Okay, now let's take a deep breath. All right. Let's do it again. If you want to call in, right now and get a reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. Okay? If you want to get a private reading, call me at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. This month we're having an October special. You get 4 45-minute sessions for only $100. If you only want to get one session, you get a 45-minute session for $40, which is usually $45. So we got some great specials coming on, and everybody in the chat room, welcome everybody who's coming into the chat room. We got Caribbean, we got Knowledge One. And Tasha, how are you guys doing? All right. I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman. This is my show, Psychic X Journeyman. Actually, Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link, where we actually sit and focus on the idea of spiritual concepts, approaching them from a different perception of everything we can think of out there, and the idea of giving you a good twist on things, and maybe actually give you some information that you can actually be successful in every part of your life. So that's what our key is, okay? So if anybody has a question in the chat, please feel free to ask. Just IM us your question, and I will answer it for you. I want you to specify if you want me to answer on the air or just answer it for you, okay? And also, we're getting calls in the queue, so therefore we will start getting to you. And for the people who want to call in right now, please do. All right? Let's see. We were talking about private readings earlier, and I was sitting there talking about the ideal, everything we do and everything we have. Okay, we do group readings, we do parties, we do charity functions. So just call us and we'll be there, no charge. We also do healing. We have 90-minute sessions, 60-minute sessions, and 30-minute sessions. We have 90-minute session relationship counseling and life coaching sessions. 90-minute sessions can be used for anything. We like to do this for past life regressions, too. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to regress in a situation of going to a past life. So 90-minute sessions are great. And this month, too, also we're having a special. Those are usually $135 for a 90-minute session. But for this month, you can get those sessions for $75. Okay? So just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699. Or go to the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Also, when you go to the website, don't freak out about the prices. Those are my regular prices, and I guarantee you, whatever your budget is, I can work with you, and we can definitely sit down and do a session. Okay, so keep that in account. But you can't really take advantage of any kind of sessions unless you pick the phone up and call. Okay, so let's get to our callers, and let's see what's happened. Like I said before, we have like a little quote for today. Instead of making a good impression, just be yourselves. All right? We sit here and look at the situation where it says, God, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day, because that's exactly what can happen. Okay, if you can keep yourself in a spiritual way. All right, and then we should look at the situation very closely. Also, give love where love is given. Now, does other people understand that means? It means when someone gives to you unconditionally, that should give you the incentive to relax within yourself to give back unconditionally too as well. All right? Let's see. I'm trying to figure out something. I was sitting there looking at somebody said something, and I was kind of like, what? All right, let's get to the callers and the queue. All right, let's go to our first caller, which is area code 305. Welcome to the show, and how are you, and what's your name?
My name is Eileen. Hi, Michael.
Eileen, where are you calling from?
Florida.
Do you like Florida?
Yes, I love Florida.
Okay, what's your favorite part about Florida?
The trees and the sky and the air and the warm breezes.
Okay. Can you share with everybody where you're at? I mean, don't tell us your address or nothing, but
in southern
you say you're
Florida.
In Florida. But I'm talking about, because there are certain parts of Florida
on
people don't understand that it does get cold.
I'm on the coast on southern Florida. So
you're
every
on the
day
coast
it's like
southern
paradise.
Florida. That means you are. The reason I asked the question, because my favorite place in Florida was Sarasota in the Gulf of Mexico, because the ocean is actually blue compared to, like, if you go to Jacksonville.
Where we are, on my side, it's more aqua turquoise blue.
Okay. Okay, I'll go with that blue, too. I'm just saying if you go on the East Coast, like Jacksonville, Florida, something like that, the waters are muddy and dark.
Correct, but that's way at the northern area. I'm way south. I'm before the Keys.
Okay. I love the Keys, too.
Yeah.
So, we've had enough about Florida. I'm pretty sure you called in and you have a certain question or a situation going on. So this.
Yeah, the situation is I'm clearing out some old past life expression and I hear it over and over and over again with many people about not being reciprocated in the same fashion that our needs are meant to be reciprocated. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's changing my energy tremendously about my own self-worth.
Okay. Well, would you say that you're also determining your self-worth by the people that what they give back to you?
No, definitely not. I'm realizing that the people around, some people, not everybody, but some people around me are not happy in their own lives, and I don't need to surround myself with their energy anymore because their unhappiness is not my unhappiness or my creating.
No, actually, you're also the reflection that reflects back at them that's so. But they can't change their lives and be.
No, I can't change their lives, but I can show them another way of.
I just said you reflect back.
Yeah.
Yes, you reflect back at them that something they should learn instead of seeing it as intimidating.
Right, right. And so I'm finally finding my voice to speak for myself, to stand up for myself once again on the wheel of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, all right, I don't want to do this again. I want to now be reciprocated.
That's true, too. But, you know, reciprocation, the idea is just really allowing yourself to love yourself, then people have a tendency to do the same.
Yeah. Well, I think I do that pretty well. I'm pretty happy with my life and experiences that I go through.
I always say to people, and they go, I'm pretty happy with my life. I'm sitting there going, ask me. And I'll sit there and say, man, my life is so freaking best, and I'm so happy and freaking, I'm just like off the scale energy. And people go, how do you do that? Yes, it's like the idea of realizing one thing. Love yourself. I actually was sitting doing card readings for people, and the one card that keeps coming up the most is it's crucially important for you to be yourself. And the reason it's crucially important to be yourself is because that's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you heard me, I said, you know, the quote for today basically was like, stop making a good impression and just be yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's what's happening. So in my strength and in my conviction to being who I am, you know, the door keeps opening. And the old shadows are leaving.
Well, yeah, sometimes you got to look at the situation right too, right? To realize that the doors that are opening were always open. It's just your perception was different at the time where you couldn't see it. For example,
well, it was also filled up with things that I wasn't awakened to yet.
Well, we were talking about this yesterday with people talking about relationships, and it's like you attract someone into your life, and then you're sitting there going, okay, I don't think I'm deserving, or I'm not ready. Not realizing the reason that person came in your life in the first place is because you manifested it.
Yeah, right.
And you manifested that person. And if you deny that relationship and deny that person, the only person you're really denying is yourself.
Exactly. Without a doubt, I'm totally there with you. And there were life lessons and life experiences that I have, and I'm still in right now, but I guess my needs are going in a different direction, you know, and realizing things.
Well, yeah. See, the realization is actually the realization is resistance, to let down and just realize and go with the flow.
Yeah, so my flow is pretty flowing.
And it's like looking at people like this, okay? And not the idea of denouncing psychics and that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying it seems like realistically in some situations when you're always asking questions and you're going to psychics about relationships, that's when you seem to have the most problems with relationships and the most nervousness in those situations because you know information as you're going into the situation that you normally wouldn't have had where the relationship could have actually probably kept on going more spontaneously. But now you have this inside information where you're thinking and focusing and you're kind of like going over it a couple of times because you don't want to make a mistake because this is what I'm supposed to do. When before, you probably would have done the same thing but been more spontaneous about it. So it's the idea of taking into consideration. And when a psychic says your best option in this situation is to let go, realistically, we said this yesterday, why is it so important to let go? Because when you let go, you're telling the universe you're ready for the changes and you're ready for those things that you've been asking for. But if you keep sitting there keeping yourself in a waiting mode and you refuse to let go and detach from it, the universe just thinks you're not ready.
Well, the universe has been giving me everything I want in regards to business, personal, environmental, everything, just because I'm not being affected by it the same way that once upon a time I was.
Well, if you take the same concept for relationships, you probably have the same success too.
I know. Mm-hmm. Exciting.
Yeah, it's just another realization that people don't realize. It's business, careers, self, all these things. It's the same energy when it comes to relationships, too. Love.
Right.
Because most of the time you'll sit there and look at the people who really enjoy their lives right now are the ones that are actually doing what they want to do, and they're loving it.
Right.
So they're happy, and it all happens spontaneously by making a decision one day, I'm no longer going to compromise. I'm going to sit here and say, okay, my wants, needs, and desires, this is what they are, and I'm not selling for less.
Yeah, see, that's a good word right there, compromise, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's happening for all the things that I've been hearing in my circles and in my relationships around me and on the internet and on telephone, is that the awakening is happening where we don't have to go through compromise anymore. We just have to hold up our own strength and our own joy and our own heart and receive the goodness of what we are.
Yes. Realization is just realizing the idea of self-worth is just the idea of realizing you are
whole.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful and loving and kind and generous and all the good stuff.
It's amazing when people freak out and use the word perfect. I was sitting there going, everybody's whole, complete, and perfect. And they're going, oh, no, we're not. I said, yes, you are. Your perception is the one that tells you otherwise.
Yeah, and the training also, and the negativity that we've had as a culture.
That's what we started talking about the other day about Hawaii was so important to do chakra clearings, once in the morning and once at night, because when you go out in the world, it's like, you know, it's like do chakra clearings in the morning to get yourself prepared, because basically what it's doing is clearing all the centers. So like we have a throat chakra where it clears out the idea of easily communicate, your third eye chakra to see things before they happen, and the idea of trusting your intuition. And then we have your solar plexus, which is the ones in power and control that we should take a paying attention to, that when it's out of whack, it's usually the butterfly effect. mm-hmm. when you're sort of going, okay, I'm nervous, but it's just the ideal that you're out of control, you know, powerless at that moment. And then you sit there and take a step back and realize it's just all an illusion, that it's just worry, nervousness, and those are lack of faith, that you can actually use and balance these chakras out to get yourself prepared, that you don't have to let them affect you as much as work with you. And then you sit there and go out in your world and you do, I mean, people have to understand, once you walk out that door, you do not have to take on everyone's energy. Sure, you probably have some residues when you get home. That's why it's so important to take and do a chakra clearing when you get home before you go to bed. So therefore, a lot of people have a problem sleeping. But usually what they're doing is they're thinking about everything that happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
Which is another worry, that I did something wrong. But when mm-hmm. you sit and do the chakra clearings and you clear all that out, you start realizing there's nothing you can do about past events that have already happened. So therefore, it's also another way of preparing yourself for tomorrow to realize it's just another day to go in a different direction that you might have not done the day before, but you can't change the day before.
So
but
the you way you do this is you just bring the light down through your crown chakra down and you just go through each center and you see each color that goes with it until it's just surrounded by the white light?
Well,
is that what you would
do? Chakra clearings. I'm just saying it's a chakra clearing. People
yeah, well,
do
I don't know. I never did it that way. I don't know how you do it, so I'm asking you, is that how you do it?
No. It's one of the variations I've done before. But what I usually do is it's more of we used to do the thing where you do the white light, but we picture the chakras as color globes. With this brilliant light within each one of them that we actually balance out. And then you can see the residue on the outside of the globes, and you clear those out as you go down. So each one of those things, it's almost like washing your dishes. Every one of those globes is going to be, you know, almost like brand new. And they're going to have this little white light in them. And you bring
wow.
the white light down through your crown chakra. Well, what I do is it's white light that comes down through your chakra.
Right.
Down through your chakras, down to the ground. And then we also bring the green energy up from the ground.
Right.
And intermingle these things together.
Okay.
And then we actually have one where you can have them kind of like circling.
Okay.
Which you can
but
also.
But now,
like,
which direction? Counterclockwise or clockwise? Counter. No, clockwise.
Well, if you have the green coming up and the white coming down, they're
okay.
both hitting them from both different directions.
So it's like a Merkaba going on in your body.
Pretty much, yeah. There's also other ways where you can bring those two. It's kind of really a focus one where you start taking the white and the green light, and as they exit the top of your head, they go around your body and back up like a cycle, where you can also cleanse your aura too as well.
Wow. Okay, I'll try to do that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Well, thanks for sharing that part.
Oh, you know, you're welcome. I'm just saying sometimes we have to realize what we take on a lot of stuff when we go out the door, even if we don't take it on or not. It's like, you know, the aura.
Yeah,
like,
you're right.
Yeah, you know, the aura is like a force field that the soul creates to actually protect the body. So all the things that happen to us is things that we allow. But at the same time, like I said before, I mean, I've had people I've worked with before say, I'm an empath. And, ooh, okay. And all they talk about is how bad it is, not realizing it's like... taking it and looking at every spiritual gift that you have and realize they're gifts to enhance your life, not to sit there and you know, basically impale you in fear. But we can also look at the situation. That's what people do. Oh, I pick up everybody's energy. No, listen to what you just said. I pick up people's energy. And then you sit there and change it to another affirmation and say, I don't have to pick up everybody's energy. It's not that. That's not how it works. How it works is, being an empath, your abilities, your chakras, your auras, being intuitive, is to prepare you for these situations where you can see them before they unfold. And then
right.
trust yourself.
Okay, sounds good. I like that.
Yeah, because I was starting to talk to a friend of mine who was talking about this yesterday and the day before, where I'm tired of psychics saying, I can't read myself. I'm sitting there going, and then quit telling people to do it. Okay. Just tell people, you know, you're sitting there saying, I can't read myself, but you're telling people, you need to listen to your heart and follow it. When we do readings, true psychics who actually do real great, fantastic readings are listening to their heart and following it in the process of helping you.
Right.
If they would just listen to their own advice they give to everybody else, they might solve their own problems and situations.
Right.
Because I know that for a fact, because that's how it works for me. I've even stopped readings before and go, hold up. I think I just found a solution to my problem just by giving you advice on what you're going through. And it's the idea. It goes back before, like we said before, right? Like attracts like.
Yes.
So there's got to be some kind of similarities between the two of you in any kind of situation or variation, because I've seen people like everything and every person that crosses your path reflect something back about you, back at yourself.
Without a doubt.
And if you learn from every one of these encounters.
Absolutely. I see those experiences over and over and over again with whoever I'm with, even with you, you see. Even with you, there's a reflection going on.
Of course there is.
Similarity.
Why would I be excluded?
Huh?
Why would I be excluded?
That's right. You're not. But, yeah. And sometimes we get hiccups in relationships, which can present itself.
Hey, can we also sort of look at the idea of relationships of they have difficulties in situations or hiccups like you're talking about in the process, that maybe people don't realize they're not really using the law of attraction because they're still pursuing it? So in the process of pursuing it, you're still attracting something to you, okay? And then you're pursuing it at the same time because you feel like you have to, a human concept. And then you bounce off these people because they're already coming to you anyway. So you have all these difficulties that you got to settle the energy because, you know, in the ideal twin flames. I heard this phrase the other day, and I'm kind of like, you know, it seemed like every time we come up with twin flames, somebody's got to come up with something else, a little bit more extreme. But they're always looking for the negativity. They're not looking for the positive. Oh, I just had this relationship with this person. I think it was a twin. I'm used to the term twin flames. But I'm not used to the term twin fire. Or someone's trying to escalate. And I'm sort of going, these things are supposed to be positive learning experiences to realize that when you find your soulmate or your twin flame, it's not going to be a roses. It's just the idea of finding somebody to share with your life as you're still going to be going through. You're still going to be going forward. Now you have somebody with probably has similarities that should make it easier, you know, instead of talking to yourself, you got someone else to talk to. And plus the ideal that's been described that twin flames is the other part of your soul. So therefore, that's the reason it's so important for you to know who you are. So therefore, you recognize the other part of you.
Right.
So when you sit there and look at the situation, I'm getting tired of people calling me up and saying, does this guy love me? We have a great connection. I said, then why are you not using that connection to figure out the question? And the answer
right.
you're looking for.
Right.
So I'm not trying to say I'm going to help you, but I think sometimes in the situation, the positions we're in as psychics, I think we're more spiritual advisors that we can actually answer your questions for, but I think we should take it further than that and give you some insights of the situation because what we've been through too as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, make your life easier. I mean, me personally, I think that's what relationships are about too, is to come in and know somebody so well to help to make their life easier. Not more complicated by putting more stress and pressure on them, because it's like this. You're looking at like a girl, for example, sitting there going, does this guy love me? And then she'll go in there and say, I love you. And she's like, he's not saying anything. That's because you said it because you want a reply. You're not saying it because you felt it. I guarantee if you say it because I love you, you'll get a response. But everybody's always looking for those three words. I love you. I'm sitting there going, but it's so easy for people to say those words. I got friends that I actually sit down every time and talk to them. We'll sit there and talk. I was actually on a random, it's a site I work on, O-Random, O-R-A-N-U-M.com. I'm Psychic X Journey on there. Check it out. But we're sitting there talking, and I was talking to my friend on the phone as I was coming into the free chat. And I got to go to work and do this whole thing. So I said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. And we went on our merry way, and now some people go, who's that? I thought you were wanting to date this other girl. But
right.
She's just a friend of mine.
Right.
We just say, I love you because I love her. She's a great person. She helps me out.
Right.
We're always there for each other.
Right.
And I said, do you say I love you to every one of your friends? That's like some can't handle it.
I do.
You say I love you too? And they're going, oh, you want to go out with me? I thought we were going out. We thought we was going out and hitting the stores and stuff and shopping. She's like, no, I thought you wanted to get together. No, I would just say I love you because you're a fantastic person. We sit here and take a step back and look at how life really is. What is spirit? Spirit is pure love.
Right, right.
So the idea of loving each other, that should be a normal, natural thing. Because I've had people come to me too, and they'll sit here and go, okay, why do I still love my ex? Because that's who you are. Just because he didn't give you back what you wanted doesn't make you less of a loving person. So therefore, loving him still makes perfect sense. It's a natural nature of your being, who you are. So therefore, when we look at these situations, people are just trying to make them so complicated, but they're not listening to themselves, okay? I mean, if a person asks you a question and said, does this guy love me? Realistically, what that person is saying at that moment, do I love myself? I think they should take a step back and look at the situation because we have so much expectations on these people. This person needs to love me. And every time I say I love him, he needs to say it back. not realizing that nobody out there on the external is never going to do it the way you think they should do it, because they're all individuals.
Mm-hmm.
They all have their own personalities. They all have their own way of approaching things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there will be similarities between the two because of the ideal twin flames and soulmates and that kind of stuff, but it shouldn't make it easier to find, I mean, not really find, it should make it easier to allow these situations to happen, to realize when a person crosses your path, who are they? Because you already know who you are.
Yeah, well, I always see it coming. I'll get a glance and I'll go, oh, I know what's going on next, just like that.
Oh, yeah, we go to restaurants, and I'm sitting there talking to my girlfriend, and I'm sitting there going, look at that couple over there. He's sitting there telling her something, and she's like, he's so full of it. You know? And it's like, he's, you know, cause it's amazing, because I was sitting there telling people flat out, especially guys, I said, if you're going to give your girlfriend roses, then if you're going to stay with her for the rest of your life, prepare yourself to give her roses for the rest of your life, because that's at that moment you do that, she's seeing you as a person who gives roses.
Right, that's and now going to be her,
yeah,
her
so
if you stop
doing that, then she's going to see you in a different light and think you've been lying or not being yourself.
No, not lying. Just, well, how come? You know, a little bit of sadness might show up.
Yeah, but we have to also look at the situation, too. If he's being, and somewhat not being himself, more likely she's not either.
Oh.
So instead of looking at it as, oh, why is he not doing that? She should look at herself and say, okay, what does that reflect back at me about myself?
It doesn't have to reflect back anything.
Yeah, it does.
Well, the person might want to do it the first time as an impression, you know, and then down
the
road.
Well, yeah, true. What I'm saying is just because there's reflections happening doesn't always mean they're negative. They're just reflections. Like we were talking about before, is there such thing as right and wrong, or is it just the idea of choosing a path and learning something?
Yeah.
It could be the same thing with reflections. Everybody's looking at a reflection goal, is it a bad one or a good one? No, it's just a reflection for you to learn about yourself.
Yeah.
So when she looks at that, what she needs to do is take a look at herself and say, okay, what does that reflect back in me about myself? It could be coming back and saying she knows exactly what she wants, and she wants roses. So he perceived that from her. The only thing he did wrong was he acted out of character because he doesn't do that.
Oh, all right. Well, then
yeah.
you must know this being.
Yes. But those two do know each other in some kind of level. It's on a spiritual level. Because I was in there talking to people and saying, okay, you meet somebody. Well, I don't feel physically attracted. Like, I want to have sex with this person. Do you have a spiritual connection? Yeah? Well, that's pure love. And the idea of sex is just the idea of expression.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's the spirit, because I had a question one time I asked everybody. I said, okay, what comes first in a relationship, the spiritual connection or the physical connection? Everybody said physical. And I said, you're wrong. In a true, because you're all sitting there saying, I want to find my soulmate and my twin flame. Those are all spiritual those are all spiritual connections and spiritual concepts. So why are people sitting there trying to figure out what they are through the human concept? That's the confusion. That's why they're having so much problems with everything. This isn't right, man. How come I don't feel like I want to do it? Well, I guarantee if you continue with the relationship on a very spiritual concept, you will come to a point where you want to express it. Just because you don't want to express it 24/7, there's nothing wrong with that. And it's actually been said, too, in a good, in a bad relationship, okay? In a bad relationship, sex is 95% of the relationship. In a good relationship, in a good, fantastic relationship on a spiritual side, it's 25%. People are going, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the heart, and you can bypass the body in many ways.
Well, that's true, too. But see, I think the good, great relationships put it where it belongs, in the idea of expression. You know, you can't express yourself in the mall, but people try. But, it's the idea of looking at the situation and go, okay, why do you – some people – it's like I've had a couple of girls I've talked to who said, you know, there has to be great sex or it's not a good relationship, not realizing it's – they got it backwards, you know. They don't have great relationships, and they're trying to make it up by having great sex. That's what happens in the bad relationships. People do the sexual part because it's the easier part to deal with.
Yeah, and you see that often. Oh, we had great makeup sex. That's what people say.
I'm sitting there going, yeah, we didn't talk or communicate or figure out the problems and find solutions, but we had some great sex afterwards.
Right.
You know,
right.
There are variations. I've seen people in relationships where, like you said before, in the good relationships, they'll still have makeup sex too, because they sit down, they talk, they work it out, they find a solution, they find out why it all unfolded. They're comfortable, but they also become, they also find a stronger bond and a stronger love for each other. So therefore, when they have sex, it's just a stronger expression because they know they love each other. The other people are just like, hey, it's a physical thing, so I guess we must be in love. See, it's a difference. It's a different concept. They're approaching it. Both couples are approaching it the same way. It's just the perception on both sides. You know, one couple perceives it as this is what we're having sex, so we must be over it. Compared to the other one who has a great relationship, and they're having sex because they're just expressing what they have. The latter question is, the latter couple doesn't know. Their assumption.
Right.
But the first one who has a great relationship, they know. There's no question about it. So therefore, it's like we sit and talk about sex, and we talk about money. And they're like spiritual concepts. And people are going, how's that possible with those two things? Because everybody has all this freaking, you know, darkness with it, you know? Not realizing that these two concepts, these two situations, are physical manifestations of giving and receiving.
I can identify with that. And
you can't have great sex unless you're willing to open up yourself to receive as much as to give.
Yeah, and if you don't hold on, then it flows. And if it flows, it goes in a circle and comes back to you. It's a figure eight.
Yeah.
Same thing with money. Money will come back if you let go of it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before when we said we talked about the idea of people trying to get the concept. I said, take the titles off everything. They're like, what do you mean? I said, forget about money. Forget about your bills. Forget about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just live your life every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
focus on exactly what you want to do. What are you going to do today? I said, I guarantee if you're 2:30, if you're like, it's 2:30 in the morning and you're sitting in your bed worrying about everything, ask yourself right at that moment, no matter what I do at this moment, no matter what decision I make, I really can't do anything about it until tomorrow. So why am I worrying about it now? So you let go of it. It's another let go. Like we said before, letting go is very important because it tells the universe you're ready to receive the changes. You're ready to receive what you've asked for. You're ready for everything. And I always tell people there's a nice concept of just sitting on the floor with your legs crossed, with your arms stretched out in front of you, with your palm to, you know, with your palms of your hands
right.
together. And just simply open your arms, and as you're opening your arms, just say, I'm open to receive.
Right.
I'm open to receive.
This
I'm
is,
open to
this
receive.
Can
back
be
and
very
forth.
Far into a lot of people, but it's the next step. It's the next leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And in that faith is a whole world of freedom.
Well, everybody's looking for freedom, but they don't realize how fast it is the idea that the more you let go of your life, the more control you really have over yourself. And then you realize
right.
in the process that control, it's not control. You just feel more content with your life just to go with the flow.
Well, it's a new concept for many people. So they have to be, sometimes you have to guide them gently.
That's true, too. One thing I want to sit here and say, too, is the idea that people say, well, no one's ever had a form of freedom. Yeah, they have. It's called when you're a child. If you consider and look at the concept of being a child, you have no worries. You know, everything's taken care of for you. If you take
yeah,
that,
and the physical manifestation of the family of the father and the mother, when you're mm-hmm. an adult, the spiritual manifestation of Father God and Mother Earth still has not left you.
No, and we sit here and look at the situation of having those same concepts of looking at them and going, hey, you know something? That's what's happening as you're an adult. You still have a mother, your father, the concept, the energy. It's just
yep.
the idea of letting go and then letting them
yep.
take care of everything in the process of things you're asking for. Because when you're younger, you ask for things.
Yeah.
And things happen and flow. And then you start realizing, even at those ages, that everything you ever wanted, needed, and desired always happened. And the things that you didn't, you really didn't need. You know, it's like
right.
I said it was concept. It's people talking about this. Life's as a bowl of cherries, you know. But then they sit there and come back and go, you know, but then there's the pits, you know. And I was sitting there going, well, think about it. Life is a bowl of cherries. And just look at the bright positive side. The pits are just things we realize later on we never needed in the first place.
Extra baggage.
Yeah. So everybody's like, life is the pits. Huh?
No,
it's not.
Not.
And then people started talking about, I got on someone's case the other day, and they're like, love let me down. I said, love didn't let you down.
Yeah.
In some ways, you let yourself down because you're sitting there saying, okay, I love this person, but he didn't give me back what I wanted. He wasn't supposed to. That was never his responsibility to give it back to you. You know,
that's
see,
so
I do.
Funny.
You love somebody unconditionally. If you are really honestly loving someone unconditionally, they will give it back unconditionally.
You are like this humongous judges coming in, spreading the truth and the light so strongly. It's really cool.
Oh, okay, thanks. I really, I go, okay, that's great, that's fantastic. But let's get back to the learning lesson and say, okay. But I do appreciate the comment.
I do.
Or the compliment.
I appreciate all the things that you're talking about, compromise. You gave a lot of key words, and I'm sure a lot of the people on the line besides me are, and in your chat room are hearing those key words. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, the chat room. So, yeah, I was always telling people, too, I said, if you got a radio show of your own and you're sitting there talking and that kind of stuff, and all of a sudden you see people coming in and into the queue and then they leave, just realize one thing with the situation.
What's the situation?
They need to focus on their patience. I've had people come on the show and they'll sit there and say, "Well, you know something, you're taking too long." But that's your perception. I'm taking as long as it needs.
Yeah, because the knowledge that you're giving out right now and the wisdom you're giving out right now applies to everybody.
Yeah, because I was sort of telling. I said, "Okay, you think I'm taking too long?" I said, "You want to tell the lady who came on a couple months ago, who was in the queue for an hour and a half? She came on the show and she said." She already had her questions answered within what she was listening to. And she needed to come on the show to tell me, to compliment me on me, you know, saying you're great, you're fantastic, but to keep doing what you're doing and to tell everybody else that they should shush and listen, that they might actually get their questions answered without even coming on the show. But they're so fixated on almost like a self-centeredness, I need to come on the show and be live, you know. But are they really coming on? For just that one question, that one problem, or do they have other things that they're not even considering? That it's a big picture of a lot of issues that they're not looking at. Because I have had co-hosts too come on there and they'll sit there and say, "Well, you're too long-winded." No, I'm not. I'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just start talking, and it's a message. And people, you know, it's like I can tell the people that are really open to change who get it. And then the other people are sitting there going, you know, you're wrong. And I'm sitting there going, am I really wrong? Or you're not looking at your own wrongs? Because you're thinking I'm doing something. I had a co-host who was sitting there looking at me going, you know, I want to sit there and get some things in too. I said, then just jump in there. I said,
in other words, they were judging you.
Yeah, because of what they should be listening to themselves, you know, because it's like I had information for you to give to her.
You were channeling.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how people say, I'm very spiritual. Yeah, okay. I said it's best, this is what I always tell people, I said it's better to, you know, how they put that, I mean, I'm trying to put this the right way. It's best to be thoughtful than to open your mouth and erase all doubt. And people have a tendency, they don't understand that when they write, talk, or say anything, as readers, and even people who are intuitionally and who actually are very open, empathic, you can sit still, and people will tell you anything and everything you know, and sometimes not without even opening their mouths. They can tell you how they really feel, what's going on, and we need to pay attention and get back to feeling again, that we have cell phones, we have all this crap, and it does it for us. And I think that's why we have so much of problems of connecting with people or even recognizing the connections that we already have.
Because it's in the voice. I agree.
Yeah, so I was sitting there saying, you know, hey, let's take a look at this situation and have some fun. And people are like, take it so seriously, too. I always tell people, you know, seriousness to me can actually be a form of self-centeredness. Look at me, I'm being serious. I'm like, no, I won't. Okay. I won't look at you. Because I tell people flat out, I said, listen to what's going on. A lady comes on my show, waits an hour and a half to come on just to tell me things, okay? Now, what did I do? What did I do to prompt that reaction and how she felt that she needed to do that? I was just being myself. So everybody's out there who's like, I got to do this, this, and this, this. You're fooling yourselves, and you're not being yourselves. If you're working a job and you say, I like my job, but you say, I don't like the management part of the whole thing, but I do like helping people. Then you sit there, I think you should sit there and focus on that comment you just said, that you're not being true to yourself. That you should be more gravitating to helping people and realizing in the process that verbal thing you just said yourself, what do you really like, what you would really love to be doing.
Right.
And take yourself away from something you don't like to do at all, period.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you are a person who doesn't like being told what to do or any kind of thing that goes over you. It's the ideal. The reflection is you need to take back the control of your life and listen to you and what you need to do with your life. You know, the idea of people talk about this all the time. I'm trying to get my life together. I'm doing this and this and this. And all of a sudden, this person comes in your life that you really feel great about. And then you start, and then there's, I've seen this many, many times with all the readings I've done before, too, where people are saying, well, this guy came in my life, but I just wasn't ready at that time. And they're going, yes, you was. Yes, you are. Because you manifested this situation, and he wants it too, or if it's a she. It's the ideal. You want it, he wants it. Everybody wants this, because if he didn't, it wouldn't be happening right at this moment. Okay? So we have to, that's a realization, boom. But it's also telling you, if you're saying that you don't have room for this person, which you manifested, you crossed paths, you're interacting in some kind of form. And you have to, and it's also a realization if you come up with that kind of statement too. What it's really telling you at that moment is there's things in your life you need to let go of to make room for this. Because
right.
this is, 'cause you're at a point in your life right now, you've done some major positive changes. All of a sudden this person comes in your life to reflect those positive changes.
Okay.
So this person deserves to be a part of your life.
Right.
And here you are denying it or trying to
play. Or welcoming it.
Yeah, you're not welcoming it at all and not realizing.
No, or welcoming it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, not welcoming it, where it would be a situation where it would be so fantastic for you, because you're looking for those opportunities to change your life because of the changes you've already made. So if you're not allowing it to happen, you have to ask yourself, why am I not allowing this to happen when I should be focusing on the things that need to go, that don't make me happy? It's a pure reflection right at that moment. It says, you need to take a life review and get rid of the things that no longer contribute to your happiness instead of putting up with them.
Right.
Okay? Because there has to be something in there. Because you wouldn't have made that statement in the first place if it wasn't true. So, you know, it's like these things, it's like, and I just sit there and say, hey, take a step back and allow positive people into your life. Because at that time you allow those things to happen, your life starts going forward again, realistically, really. Because if you keep denying these things, one thing you're going to start noticing that you're going to start attracting things that don't make you happy. Because you're not allowing the happy things to be the part of your life. One will be, it's like this, it's one or the other. It's, you know, duality is like, I don't see, duality does exist, but in the process of making a decision and going down a path, it doesn't. You can only live one side. That makes sense?
Absolutely. But you also have to remember that it's all in the divine order, and timing is with the highest power. So we can know it intuitively, but we can't control the timing. But if we know it intuitively and we just accept the fact that, all right, I've let go. I'm no longer conditioned to that energy anymore. So now I'm just flowing, and the universe will bring me exactly what I've requested a long time ago, or desire, mm-hmm. or know is going to fulfill parts of myself that I'm wanting to share, because mm-hmm. it's all about sharing. And,
of course it's about sharing. I mean, if you look at the idea of what true love is in the process.
Yeah, sharing.
It's sharing, because you sit there and I told a special person I know that, I said, this is what we should do. I love myself, you love yourself, and then we'll share it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Because we're whole. So if we just share it, God, universe, spirit fulfills us consistently, is always giving back to us. So we'll never lose ourselves in somebody else. We just want to be enjoying life with somebody else, or more than one person.
True, true. When you look at the situation, the concepts, the worldly concepts, that we have to watch certain things that come into our freaking phrases in our mouths. And the ideal, I had a lady come in, and she's like, you know, I'm losing myself in this relationship. I said, no, you're not. For the first time in your life, you feel comfortable enough to be yourself, and you're becoming part of something special.
Right.
And they were like, oh, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're looking at the fearful part of the whole thing of losing oneself when it's the idea of being comfortable to allow oneself to be who you are. So therefore, you just found you.
Right.
And right. People are like, that's too easy. So what? So what?
So then they punish themselves again. And then that record keeps going on and on and on. They go, why is my life so sad? Because they cheat.
But you keep
punishing.
A stupid record. Break it.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, okay, come on, man. Why is your life so sad? Because you're in there listening to sappy songs. I am so sad. And you find, it's amazing how people punish themselves. They find these music, they find movies, and they just sit there and cry and cry. And I'm sitting there going, this is what you need to do. I have nothing against crying because it's a great releasement. But if you keep punishing yourself, why are you punishing yourself for someone leaving you?
Because it's part of the old paradigm. That is now resurging so people can have that last experience and say, holy moly, I don't want to be doing this anymore. Wow, look at how many centuries I've been doing this to myself. Holy moly, I'm so worth more. And because there's a whole wave of consciousness awakening, everybody's feeding each other on the telepathic levels. And we're all, well, not everybody, but I'd say a good percentage in my world, are finally getting it, and they're releasing these things, and their life is going to be filled with joy. In the very,
yeah, I know. I'm sitting there taking a look at the situation of relationships, and I'm like, now, one thing I have to sit there and do, too, is you look at a situation like I was talking about before where a person's not really allowing you to be a part of their lives. I think we should need, I mean, I'm not saying not be understanding.
Yeah, talk to me about that one, because that's a big one.
Yeah, but the one thing I want to sit there and say is amazing on people's perceptions that when we sit here and look at these situations, some people look at them and say, okay, you should move on. And I'm sitting there going, what if in the situation that you keep on pursuing it? Because, I mean
why does someone pursue it?
But listen, the reason I say pursue it, I'm not saying push it.
No.
I'm saying
chase
you
it.
Two have crossed paths for a reason to learn from each other. Just because one refuses to see, and actually if you sit and look at the situation, they're still seeing it. They're not allowing themselves to change accordingly, I guess you'd say. But that doesn't mean it won't. And I think if we give in and say, okay, just forget it, then the learning lesson is done for both. I think it's a learning situation for both people, because you look at the situation and go, okay, this person is being very persistent, but at the same time, it's like what one is saying to what their actions are contradicting. So therefore, instead of listening to the words, so because some people think they have to say certain things to get, because they don't know what else to do, but they don't realize that who they are as a person and what they really do want is still singing out louder than it ever has. Okay, so it's the ideal. I'm saying you don't give up on them. There are certain things where you can be friends. Because at those situations that haven't happened, you can still maintain a friendship. I've always said before.
Okay, that's true. Absolutely.
If you've already been in a relationship with somebody and you have a girl or a guy who says, well, let's just be friends, you can't do that. That's physically impossible because you've already passed the threshold. Okay? Mm-hmm. But in the situation of a very strong friendship, we all know for a fact that friendship is a strong foundation for a great relationship that hasn't happened yet. But that doesn't mean it never will. Because I always say things to people and say, okay, let's use a nice little affirmation that says, every good thing you desire comes to you. If it doesn't come to you, then it's not good for you. But it doesn't mean it never will be, because you are also working on yourself
and
life
is progressing. There's two ways to that sword. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that it ever will be, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that it ever won't be. I mean, it's both sides.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I sit here and say, if this person really means a lot to you, then I say don't give up on it, because that's like giving up on yourself. If they're, like we said before, if they're denouncing anything, they're denouncing themselves. But also the situation is also another reflection back at us about ourselves. So see, the thing is still going on, reflection. Who are you? You have a friend of yours is like going through some stuff. You're there for them. How come this particular person who doesn't want to really give you back a relationship, they shouldn't be punished? I think they should be, have some respect, because you're going to have respect for yourself if you're in the same situation. So it's still a learning lesson going back and forth.
Yeah, you have to put space between two people so that the person who's going through whatever they're going through has enough time and space around themselves so they can see it.
Well, also, the situation goes like this. If you have a very strong connection with that person, more than likely they know it too, or you wouldn't have the connection at all.
All right.
So when you sit here and look at that situation, you know, you being yourself, being who you are, which is what brought you guys together in the first place, you need to contain and keep continuing to do that. That way, the person has a reflection back at them that it's okay for them to do the same thing, because realistically, at that moment, that they're not allowing something to happen, they saw it too, they're scared of it. So it actually gives them a nice reflection back at themselves that says, it's okay to be yourself too, because you attracted the situation itself. That's, you got that, because you're looking for that reflection. Am I doing the right thing? Am I really changing? Have I really done some positive things for myself? And this person that comes in your life, you just attracted, reflects that back at you, that you have.
Right. Okay.
So, I was just like, boom. So, it's like I said before, I mean, you got to sit, I mean, each situation, of course, should be perceived in a different way as you're going down that path. But I'm just saying, it's like try to address people in their certain situations. Like we had some people a couple weeks ago where we were talking about a relationship, saying, like, okay, I'm in this fantastic relationship, and this person just booked it. You know, booked it. That means they left. And they walked away from the relationship in a time that was actually going really good. And people were kind of like, okay, what's the confusing part? I said, well, think about it. And it was the definition and almost like an insight to twin flame relationships that people have a tendency to run away from, because they're the most purest reflections in relationships that you can have. So therefore, it's a reflection back about yourself. So here's this great, fantastic person. It reflects back at you, and you're going, most people who walk away is the idea that they take it as intimidating instead of taking it for what it is, as a reflection back at themselves about themselves. I think sometimes we have to be verbal too. I had a girlfriend like that too, where she was like, oh, you're awesome, you're great, you're fantastic, you know, it's amazing all the things you do. I said, that's true, dude. That's true. That is really true. Thank you. I appreciate that. But doesn't like attract like? And aren't you
right.
the same? Well, and I said, just because you're not living at this moment doesn't mean it's not within you, because you see it.
Right.
It's a reflection.
Right.
You have attracted me and I have attracted you. I can see where I came from and you can see where you're going.
That's funny.
I'm just saying, you look at the
situation.
Yeah,
but sometimes the trains, they go and they go and they go, and then all of a sudden it splits, and one goes one direction and one goes another, and you can still be friends and you can still love each other for the rest of eternity, but no longer are your paths going together.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that does happen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's situations of people crossing paths as soulmates simply just for the process of learning something and going on their way.
Yeah.
It's not a long-term relationship.
Right.
Like, you know, but then again, people have to take a look at situations too and say, what is long term? We're going to have a long term relationship, and I think we should be more specific, because friendships can be long term too as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And
I don't think you should put a time on anything, though.
Huh?
I don't think you should put a time on anything or decree it's going to be a long term. I don't think it's any.
Well,
of that.
That's the thing, you know.
Unless you want to get into
titles. Long term relationship.
But
I'm
you
like, okay.
Said it. All I'm saying is, you know, do you want to jump in the fire and have an experience with me?
Yeah,
and
if it's just
some,
I can't handle the fire. Gotta go. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm always very leery of girls who wear Nikes. And people are like, why? Because they always run. Okay.
So I think I should get off so somebody else can talk to you.
Why? You're fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
So when's your birthday?
June 28th. And the year? Do you need the year?
June 28th?
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun. You're a Cancer.
That I am.
Okay, what year?
51.
What year?
5-1.
You're 51?
No, I was born 51.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're in 1951.
Yes.
You have a very positive spirit, very positive. Your voice is so youthful. I would never know that. I thought you were like in your 30s.
61.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Do you look it?
No.
I didn't think so. You seem like you're a very active person.
I am. I went on a 5-mile bicycle ride today to the gardens.
To the gardens. How you doing? How was that? That was like a really energetic. Not energetic. I want to say, energized. There you go.
Energized.
Because we have a place here called the Garden of the Gods.
Ooh.
It's a wild,
sounds
nice place.
Really good.
Too. Yeah, and I just got a shop up in Manitou Springs. Which Manitou Springs, if you sit there and do some research on it, it's actually in a vortex. And it's like, explain to people what a vortex is. It's like, it's a portal of positive and negative energy, like in a swirly thing. It's almost like the yin and the yang. But it's also people, ooh, that'd be great. It is great if you're focusing on great things. But it
right.
can also take you down as quick as it takes you up. That's the energy. So it's everybody go, okay, what? When you see 1111 or 111, it says a portal is open of positive, of just energy at that moment. And the more you keep your thoughts, the more positive your thoughts, the quicker.
The quicker what?
The quicker your manifestations.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Hold on. Everybody hold on for a minute. I'm going to play. You hold on to you. I want to check out something real quick. I'm going to play some music real quick, all right?
Sounds good.
All right. Be right back. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Became of all the years.
Okay, everybody, we're back at with Kansas called Child of Innocence. And we're sitting here going over the whole thing and go, wow, okay, that was pretty powerful music. I like as powerful music as I can get. I have a tendency to listen to every once in a while, as people call them, sappy love songs. But I'm also a singer, so I have a tendency to really focus on the words and just sitting here going, oh, my goodness. It's the idea of, I think that songs in the situation, we're always talking about signs. Anything can be considered a sign. I just wish people would do one thing. See the signs as direction, not the ideal. Say, okay, pound your ideal into the situation. Or the ideal, I got a list of a guy I want to be with or a girl I want to be with in a situation, the kind of relationship I want. Then you go find somebody and you try to pound them into that freaking, that little wooden peg, square peg, into a round hole. How come he's not doing what I want him to do? Because he's pissed off because you're stuffing him down a freaking hole. And he just doesn't fit. Like you're, I guess you would sit there and say it like this, you're putting someone in a mold who already had their time that they were created, and they actually took that mold and they're done with it, and you're trying to remold them, not realizing at that moment you should be looking at yourself and going, okay, it's a reflection of what you should be doing for yourself. We should never be telling people what to do. In the process of changes that we're wanting in people, we have to start those changes within ourselves, which will reflect. And then they'll follow through with the changes that they want to do. So the idea of the connection between two people is very important to actually trust that. That it, if you feel very strongly that you're meant to be together, this is the other part of your soul. This is the person that you feel like would be great in your life, that you could be really happy with because you're happy with yourself, then trust it and allow it to happen. And if you're not doing that, ask yourself why you think you have to control every aspect of that situation. And you realize it's probably because you feel the lack of control within yourself. So you're going to control everybody else and everything. So you change it, okay? So it's like, okay, take a step back and go, aren't you tired? Relax and just allow. Allowing doesn't take anything but letting go. I want to say, okay, we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. Anyway, I would love to have a radio show like that. Okay. There's the intention. It's out there. And this girl I have on my mind right now, I would love to have this person a part of my life. So I could share with her what I already know. There you go. You know, you're looking at somebody going, why do you want to be with them so much? Because you think you already know them. Nope. I would go past the ideal thinking. It's the ideal you do know. That would actually I think that would help people understand, too, wouldn't it? That you have that kind of knowing, the other person could be really scared of that knowingness, going, yeah, I know, this could be really good. And then they start thinking, that's the bad part, isn't it? They start thinking of what they're going to have to let go instead of looking at the situation that this person could be the one thing you've been wanting your whole life that could actually bring you to a realization to let go of the clutter. Write that down, huh? Aren't we glad that these shows are recorded? I got kind of an inkling right there to take the information myself and put a book together and go, okay, which comes first, the spiritual or the physical? The physical, wrong. Look for the answer inside. Anyway, and actually when you look at the title of the book, look for the answer inside. They're going to go looking in the book, which is going to help them to do one thing. To go inside. I love it. This book has to happen. So you there?
Yep.
I'm just saying, people sitting there going, what are you writing about the book for? I'll be honest. I want to get rich. But when we sit here and look at the situation of rich, wealthy, abundant, and prosperous, when you put them in a spiritual concept, they take on a different meaning than what the humans look at. Yeah, no, you're all thinking, okay, humans, you sound like you're from another country or another world. Some days I feel like it. So let's just go with the concept, right? I've actually had that a couple of times. I'm talking, and I was like, humans drive me crazy. And they're going, what do you mean? I said, well, think about it. People who really focus on the spiritual stuff become more spiritual than they do human. They realize the human body is nothing but transportation, getting from point A to point B.
Right.
And then the human being is going, I'm making decisions, and my body says I should do this. And you're like, okay, why don't you go outside and ask your Mustang the same thing? the same thing. You know, go ask your Mustang, okay, what should I do? Should I go with this girl?
Michael, ask how many people listen to their inner voice. That's the big question.
What? Hold on.
In the course of your day.
So hold on for a minute. I'm listening to my inner voice.
There you go.
I'm sitting there going, more people than we like to admit sometimes, but at the same time.
No, they hear it, but they don't listen.
Yeah, everybody listens. It's the ideal of their actions. You know, you walk up to somebody, you feel this connection with somebody, puts a smile on your face, and you're going, I can't do this. And it's like you go, see, that's a choice. I mean, I had a friend of mine yesterday.
They hear it, but they don't. All right, this one
yeah,
way.
I had a friend yesterday who was going through a rough patch on a day. And it was like, you know, she was like, the happy people were downstairs. I'm like, I started to go down. I said, okay, fine, I'm going to go happy people, right? And I said, no, I can't do that. And this is my friend. I was really concerned, you know, like, hey, you know, make a choice. Be happy. Because I know once you feel happy, you'll feel good about yourself, you know. And that's what I told her. I said, you know, put yourself in a situation that maybe you don't think you would like, but you really want to do. So go ahead and do it. And then it might change your perception, and it might change your whole day in a positive way. And people go, see, I tell this to everybody. Everybody I walk into, I have a tendency to do that. Because I was telling my friend, one day I was up in this little town. This lady, I know her. She has a shop of her own. She had done some palm readings for these ladies. I was out and about doing a little thing. I came back about the same time these girls are coming out of the shop. And they're walking up the sidewalk. And I said, hey, how was your session? They said it was fantastic. Great. And I was like, I do palm readings as well. And I was curious, can I see your palms? And I was reading their palms and that kind of stuff. Well, these girls felt obligated. Oh, you're reading our palms, you're doing something for us. See, they have the concept of wealth or worth. And they see this is a valuable thing. You know, someone's reading my palm, so they look at the person as being valuable. See, the reflection's going on no matter what. That I don't have to do anything but be myself, and they're starting to tell me this, so they give me money, you know. And I said money was given because they felt like they needed to give because of this worth. Now, I sit there and say, well, let's go up the sidewalk away from my friend's shop, because then, you know, I don't want her to just sit there and think that something's going on. I was just having fun, and I was reading these people's palm. Then she asked me to read her friend's palm, and sure, I walked away with $6. But I don't charge $6 for palm readings. I charge actually about $125.
Right.
But at that moment, I just told the lady, I said, you know, you feel obligated to give me something, and just whatever you got, you know?
For exchange, right.
Just if you feel that obligated to do that, you shouldn't stop those exchanges. They're happening that could actually offend them. So if it's happening, you allow it to happen. Continue.
It's
no.
Energy exchange.
But the lady must have saw it. She comes up the freaking sidewalk and looks at me, and she goes, do you think this is really professional?
You mean your
and
friend
I said, yes,
who
I
has
do,
the
because
store?
I'm on the freaking, I'm on a street.
You mean, wait, your friend who had the store?
Yeah, she come up and she goes, you think this is professional? Yeah, I do. Why wouldn't it be professional? I said, you know, they've already done their work with you. Now they're up here talking about it, which I actually reaffirmed everything she told them. So each one of these situations, as they were unfolding, was actually making her look better.
Good.
Which was actually giving her probably, these people were going to tell everybody, oh, we've got another palm reading from another person who actually reaffirmed what she said.
Right.
Which actually increases her business.
Right.
And here she is getting angry at me
Right. Because
she says, you know, you're not being professional.
She's
I'm sorry.
Insecure.
When people, yeah, I believe like this. In this kind of work, we're spiritual beings. We're light workers. Nobody is our client that we hang on to saying, okay, this person needs to come back to me. That's not our freaking business. People make decisions of where they think they should go with their spiritual path.
Right.
So if they come back to you, great. If they don't come back to you, don't look at it as anything that you've done. And just look at it, maybe you've done your job.
Right.
And they don't need to come back to you. So that's what I was saying. But she said, she came off and said that was unprofessional. And I said, how is that unprofessional? I even took the girls up the freaking street away from your shop. And you're sitting there going, no. So I told my friend, I said, this is how my day went. I did the palm reading for them. I had bus fare. And I got myself a cappuccino. You know, enjoying life. I get on the freaking bus to go home. I ran into some guy who needed some guidance about relationships. My whole life was blessed that freaking day.
Well, see, you were following your feeling.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You were following your feeling, and by following your feeling, you were in the right moment at the right time, helping these women to verify everything that your friend, who just gave them a reading, told them.
And my life
unbeknown
was
to you.
Yeah, my life was blessed for the rest of the day, because I feel like if I would have done something in the wrong, he wouldn't have been that blessed. It would have reflected making the wrong decision.
And you would have felt really horrible.
Yeah, and I was sort of looking at her going, I feel kind of bad because the energy you're getting me trying to figure out what. And I've had two readers I've talked to who said, you don't refer your clients to other people. Why not? You know, why can't you guys look at the situation of abundance and prosperity and spread the wealth?
Because you're more evolved, what can we say?
Yeah, so we look at the situation of people.
You're not holding on. You know, you're more, you see the bigger picture. You see, if somebody can do something, let me share the wealth.
It's the idea of looking at people and seeing them and then telling people, you know, don't be intimidated by, as you put it, me seeing through you. It's just the ideal that I can see who you are. Why can't you just be yourself?
Because they're not ready.
Yeah, but they must be ready in some ways. Well, maybe I'm just the ideal I can see. Because I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I was sitting here talking about the phrases, like, may God and the angels bless you every minute of the day, every minute of every day. And they're like, well, is that possible?
Only.
Okay, perception says yes, but yours doesn't. And I was sitting there going, but won't you look at the phrase itself and use it as an affirmation?
You just gave them such a gift, and they're questioning it.
Yeah, so then I sit there and say, give love where love is given. So if someone's giving to you unconditionally, loving you, and they care about you and they like you, you don't sit there and say, I'm not ready for this. Yeah, you are, because it's being reflected and it's been given to you.
Well,
so
maybe
therefore,
not.
That's what it means. Give love.
No, you can't tell them either that, yes, you are. You
well,
can tell their higher self, yes, you are, but you can't tell their physical body, you know, their humanness.
That's
yes,
true, too,
are.
But my philosophy is I look at them and go, okay, they look at me and say, can you see me? Yes, I can see you. No, you can't. I'm like, yes, I can. I'm
but
not
you're
say
looking
anymore.
At their soul. You're looking at their higher their higher soul.
But see, the question is they're asking me, can you see me? Yes, I can. And they're saying, no, I can't, which means they can't see themselves or
That's
they would
right.
understand what I'm saying, which
That's
means
right.
they So I'm just saying, you're in court and a lawyer says something in front of a jury that he can't do. Well, the judge says, wipe it from the record, but you can never wipe it from their minds.
Right.
So it will affect the outcome. Maybe
That's
not today.
That's right. You planted a seed. You planted
yes,
a seed.
Yes, exactly. I planted a seed. It
major,
said, I can
major.
See you. So they'll sit there and they'll question themselves going, if he can see me, maybe it's about time I did too. Because, I mean, that's what
that's
happens
right.
in relationships. You know, you're seeing it for what it is. You're seeing this special person, you're seeing the special outcome, this relationship they know. You know, it's the ideal. They can't see the specialness about the whole thing until they see the specialness within themselves.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know what? You're just planting the seed and you're reflecting the highest good for this human being. But it's not until some other time in their life when they have their own personal crises, when you're not around, that they all of a sudden get ignited by life and they go, oh, now I get what they were saying to me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It might not happen today, but I guarantee you something will happen.
Yeah.
And it will happen. The evolving. Because I already did it. Because it's like you can actually come up with that confidence because you did. So you know it's possible.
Right. I hear what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah,
so
the more
it was given to you, it shall be given to others.
Yeah, but they also say that when you heal yourself, so do you heal the world.
Yeah.
Because the reflection you reflect back at everybody. So it's like looking at somebody and say, we're going to have a fantastic, awesome, special relationship. And it's just not for me and you. It's also for the world to see so they can use it as an example
right.
to realize they can have the same thing as well.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This book, I'm going to have to put it together. Because I was just like, every time I hear someone say, well, I'm not physically attracted to this person, but I feel connected. It's the idea of helping them understand. Of course you do. Because the spiritual part happens first. Let it evolve.
Mm.
Let it evolve. Let it happen. Let it fall into place. And I guarantee you, the sexual part you're looking for, it will be put in the right context of expression. Not just the idea like the dogs in the neighborhood who just nail everything that walks.
Right.
That's... They're basically just reproducing. You know, you don't want to reproduce. And when you do reproduce, you want to do it the right way, because I feel like a lot of people have done it the wrong way, and their children actually have a tendency to reflect that.
Right.
Does it mean they can't change? Oh, man, you look at the situation, the process of you changing. These little children are just reflections of you. So what you do with yourself reflects in them. That's why I always tell people I'm not an advocate of divorced. Being divorced and all that kind of stuff, but for relationship, people say we're staying together because... Because why? Because this person needs a father, and this guy's a drunk, he's a drug addict, and the whole thing. Oh, yeah, I want a father just like that. And then they kind of think about it going, see, he's just It's like it's almost like a theater, and this guy is putting a role. You put this guy in the role that you're hoping that he'll get better at, not realizing it's time to fire him and get an actor who can, well, not even an actor, get somebody who's real. Because I've always noticed that people, and even in acting, if you look at the people in acting who actually get the most recognition, have found somewhere within themselves that reflects that part. So it's really them you're seeing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So therefore, you know.
So they found themselves in their own illustrious fictional part.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you're the grandmaster.
Okay. Thank you.
I would say that in the tarot, I would say that you are the magician.
Oh.
With words.
And actually, I'm not trying to denounce anybody. I'm just saying, if you look in tarot, if you look at the Hippophantus card, it actually represents Taurus.
Which one?
The Hippophantus card, which is a spiritual card.
Which one? I can't understand what you're saying. The Hippophantus?
I can't say it either. It's the one that starts with an H.
The Hierophant. The Hierophant.
There you go. See, everybody pronounces it differently.
The Hierophant.
Yeah.
Hierophant.
Every time I hear Hierophant, I keep thinking about that foreign car I used to have. Yeah, I used to have a Hierophant. It was great, man. It was like a four-cylinder. It was great. Anyway.
That's who I'm seeing. Well, am I seeing him? He's got the world on one side. He's got the Wheel of Fortune. Is that the Hierophant card? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like looking at people going, I was sitting and seeing this thing, this guy, this Burt guy, who talks about dimensions, where it enables you to see like 16 different dimensions, so it's like 16 different decisions within one decision you're making, so you can see all the outcomes, and then you can make another change. And I said, well, my friend came to me, and she was like, well, that's something you've been doing for years, because of the idea of seeing the past, the future, and the present at the same time, being able to comprehend the whole thing, and help somebody else see what things go in their own lives. So they're all reflections and stuff, because I was like, I tell my friend, so I'm not trying to be egotistic or not, but it's the idea of being honest with yourself, that when you pick a book up and you start reading it, you get about halfway through and you realize it's just a reconnection with something you already know.
Yeah.
It's the idea of looking at past lives. How important, some people say that past lives are not important in the process of going back and looking at them. It's fun. It's kind of wild that we've had these lives and that kind of stuff. But we also have to realize one thing. People said, well, how can we really learn from those situations? They all happen for a reason. Okay,
oh,
we had
God.
Those past lives. We learned something. Just because
I've learned so much from looking at my past lives.
Well, we also have to look at the situation. Just because we didn't learn it at that moment doesn't mean we can't go back and reflect, which means a lot of times we're hanging on to insecurities and stuff that, like you said before, from past lives. And then when we go back and look at those things from a realistic point of view and realize that they're in a past life, they don't exist, they have a tendency not to exist within our lives anymore.
Well, no, I take that back. I don't agree with that completely. What I believe, because I've experienced it, is that sometimes we get stuck in the same repetitious patterns and we know something is wrong and we say, I don't like what I'm doing. Why? Where does this come from? How do I nip it in the bud? Where was this given to me, or where did I believe this, or where did I take this on? Because I know it's not my true heart's desire. It's not my true wholeness. So I want to look at this experience. Where do I go? And then someone helps and they bring you to that, and man, a flood of tears and holy moly, wow, now I see, and okay, right now, I'm clearing it out. And then you gain the power. You take that power back in this lifetime, in this body, in this incarnation. You no longer are overlapping those previous incarnations into this one, so you really can be free. And oftentimes, because I've had that experience where I would always lose my throat, and I had an experience, why was my voice being taken away from me beyond the fact that I wasn't communicating? They'd said, okay, well, you don't want to talk, we'll take it away. But then I went through an experience, and something happened to me physically in that life that affected my voice.
Yeah.
So I was able to leave it there and say, oh, I got it. And because I took the truth there, I left it there, and I brought it back into this life, and I said, I'm not acting like that anymore. And when an experience came up for me where somebody was in my environment. I didn't want them to be there. Mm-hmm. Like a day before, they were all over me, and I had to leave my own apartment because I didn't know how to communicate. This time I just said, may I have my keys? Please leave. And it was like this powerful expression came through me that could, you know, rock
the world. Yeah, I was almost saying the other day, too, when I met my friend. I mean, she was like having a bad morning and stuff like that, and she's basically reflecting and pushing people away. But we still have a choice where I walk downstairs. I can say, okay, forget this. I'll just go downstairs. But then again, being a loving, caring person, I came back and said, no, I'm going to say something or do something because I feel compelled to do so. So I did. I listened to myself. Mm-hmm. Not let somebody push me away because they didn't want to deal with something. But to come back and hopefully I gave them some information where I feel like it made a difference, maybe on a small scale, but see, it still made a difference because they actually realized.
Changed.
Well, they changed because the realization that you were there for the because you really wanted to help them. So they actually allowed that to happen, and they helped themselves.
Yeah, the point, they let down
their
guard.
You're constantly opening. It's because you know it's like those are good experiences for you to open your heart to. I remember the situation too because I was nervous before I even walked in there because I really wanted to see her. And there's been some situations going back and forth that I was just like, but I still have these. My feelings have not changed. Even if it's one of those things where, you know, you sit there and look at it and go, okay, what's going to happen? You have to take a step back and go, well, what? You know, what will happen or what won't happen? At that moment, you're actually focusing on the past and the future when you should be focusing on the moment of actually interact with that person at that moment. And then realizing that in the now moment is going to probably reflect what's going to happen in the future. And I think that the more we keep it on a positive note and being ourselves, because I remember walking up there and going, I should not be this nervous. I should sit there and focus. I'm strong. I tapped into my strength. I focused. And I went in there and I was actually, I really wanted to just be myself because I've been doing my cards and they keep saying, it's crucially important for you to be yourself. And I'm sort of going, be myself. And they go, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you want to be yourself? Because when you two met, why there's such a connection. It's because of two people being who they are, being themselves at that moment, that connection was the strongest, but it was just a realization because of two people being real that they actually felt a real connection. It wasn't until when you start getting into the intensity of the whole thing, the reason we're having problems and thinking and when we think there's confusion, that's the illusion. There is no confusion. We're just not being ourselves. So it's reflecting back and forth. So it's the idea, okay, take a step back and take a deep breath and going, okay, who am I? And be that. And realizing it's not that hard because that's who you always have been. And that's who you was when you first met. And I've had so many people sit there and go over these situations. It drives me crazy, and I've done it myself. How easy it is to fall into that freaking trap of thinking that we have to do something totally different to get a good response, not realizing the best responses we got was when we first met, when we were being ourselves.
Right. When all your guards are not existing. When you're just carefree and you're innocent and you're sincere and just unpretentious.
Yeah, it's like looking at a situation like that one in particular, looking at somebody and saying, I love this person, but I also like to find out what the intensity of what that, you know, what where that love could go. It shouldn't be something that's intimidating. So, this person says he loves me, so I have to do something. No, it's the idea of realizing this person loves you because of who you are.
Why, you have people in your life who question what love means that way?
Well, you say, I love you, and they go, oh, shoot, you want a relationship? Well, we already have one.
They're on a different frequency than yours, Matt, than your insight is all about.
Let's try this for a minute. They say that we were on the same way, because more likely if we have a connection with each other, we were on the same frequency. I can't say it. Frequency. So what happened is a little intimidation where someone reduces their vibration, thinking they're not worthy of that kind of high energy. So I say in that situation, should we be less because they won't sit there and honor themselves, right? They won't honor themselves.
No, you can't be less. You have to
be
yourself.
No, what you do is you continue to be who you are, and you look at them saying, you know something? This is the person that you really like. So therefore, once you sit and look at that situation, which means you really like yourself, and realize we are on the same level, we are on the same frequency, it's that you're not allowing that to be. But then again, if you're not allowing it to, so once you let down the resistance, and I guarantee you that if we are on the same page, you will automatically go back there.
Oh, absolutely. The attraction.
It's like a balloon. You know, a balloon has a tendency it wants to go high where it's, you
know,
you
want to surround yourself with people who understand you and show love back and show communication back and show joy back and enjoy your presence.
I enjoy her presence.
Well, that's good.
Because I was, you know, it's one of those situations. You go, okay, should you say you love her, or should you just be that loving person, that caring person, that patient person she knows you are?
You can do
both.
It has
a tendency to make people relax and go, okay, what am I doing? What am I fighting? I'm only fighting myself. Because I won't. Because if you're not allowing something to continue, and you're actually trying to put the brakes on it, you're doing it. The other person's just like, hey. Why is this person kind of irritated with you? Because you're not allowing something to happen that they already know it's it. You know, some people, like, we look at the situation of connections. Okay, you have a very strong bond and connection with each other. Why? Well, that's the point of actually looking at people going, I feel like I really know you. And you, all this stuff's going on, right? And you're sitting there going, why is this person frustrated? The reason that I was frustrated anyway was because of knowing, okay, I know. And I just want to live that. I want to express that. I want to share that with somebody. And I found this person that came so natural to do so. You know?
Well, don't deny yourself.
I don't deny myself in anything, sweetie. I mean, I was talking to my friend yesterday. I was talking about all the stuff that's been happening in my life. I said, my life is very blessed. And that's the ideal, that sometimes we just have to sit back and have this gratitude that any kind of interaction that you have with a person that you really, really care about, you should appreciate the interaction that you do have.
I agree.
And then I think the more you appreciate it,
because
the more likely...
Because you can be out of your body really fast.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, we look at the situation and go, wow. I was telling a friend of mine, I think it was kind of amazing when you can have a connection with somebody, you just look at their picture, and you're like, I can still feel the same intensity. But also, like I said before, I think we need to take a step back and go, wow, I have this freaking fantastic, all this stuff going on. And I guarantee you, if you're feeling it, it's mutual. Because, I mean, we're talking about a connection. It's like a telephone pole, okay?
It's electricity.
Yeah, it's like electricity, like an electric pole. If the line is not connected at both ends, you don't have a connection.
Right.
But when it is connected at both ends, you have some, you know, it's a great experience.
Current. It's a good current.
There's a current going on, definitely. Sassy.
Sassy.
I'm just saying, when you look at these situations, I say don't give up on them, but that doesn't mean you have to be pushy either.
Right.
Or persistent. I think you should just step back and try, well, you know, not try, just really realize that the best experiences you had with that person was when you being yourself. You're having fun. You're doing the whole thing. So you have to take it back to that point. And what I mean by take it back, it means you are taking yourself off a frequency too, because you're not being your true self. But it sure definitely gives you an idea where to go, because you realize that you two connected when you're both being yourselves. So you do have an example. I had a lady come on. I was writing for this magazine. This lady come back in and says, it's kind of hard to have those good love experiences when we never really had them before, or don't have any kind of have a sample of what that's about. And I said, yeah, you do. And people were asking me, okay, when did I ever have that connection? When you were loving yourself?
Oh, well, that's a whole other story.
I'm just saying, when you were younger. And you had all these expectations of all these things you wanted to do.
Yeah.
You loved yourself. You cared about it because, ooh, I'm going to do. And then you went out to the world, as people call it, they went out to the real world, and you compromised one time, which set off a chain reaction of where you're at now, where you don't like.
So in other words, you pull the wool over your head.
Yeah.
The wool cap over your eyes, and you just, now you fit into everybody else's mold. And then slowly, 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 people start to forget who they were, who they are, and they don't even know who they are. Yet they're not happy with what's going on around them. However, people like you, people like me, we go in and we are called, we're not instigators, we go in there and we're transformers.
Uh-huh.
We pick people up. We go in there and we show them the light of their own self.
Sassy was in there again. No, there was someone came into the queue. Sassy came in, Sassy left. I was like, what the heck?
I know.
Didn't have to even say, hey, somebody came in. I'm like, they're gone.
Son I know.
Of,
well, maybe I should get off because the show's...
Not really. There's nobody here now. So, hey, you just sit back and relax and voice your opinion. If you need to go, that's fine, too.
No, I'm sitting here. I'm good. I'm relaxed.
Because I was sitting talking about, you know, like when I was sitting looking at situations and relationships. And sometimes I do have a tendency to, when I'm talking about certain people, that they would hear. That, I mean, shoot. If somebody takes in that much consideration and the thought about you, I mean, I think it's one of those things they have to understand that I've taken the same kind of intensity to focus on myself. That's why I can see you so clearly. I know who I am. I know what's up. I've had a couple of relationships like that, too, where people go, you don't love me enough to be my friend. I'm like, hold on for a minute. I've never questioned how I feel about you. It's you're the one that wants to take it to friendship. And I said, so therefore, stop telling me how I feel, because you keep telling me, don't tell you how you feel. And here you are saying, you don't love me enough, and you're questioning the love that you have for me, so that's why we're even here. So, I mean, people go, well, that's kind of like in your face. I said, well, no, it's not. That's how I felt at the moment. And I think we need to express ourselves at the moment that we feel these things to help other people realize that it's okay to express themselves too, what they're not doing at that moment, because they're denouncing something, and they're trying to knock you down to their level so they don't have to deal with the realization.
It could be frightening.
It can be frightening.
See,
we're all talking about facing our fears, and here's a person.
Yeah.
Like I told a friend of mine, I said, I'm facing my fears every day. That's the point. And you look at your situation of denouncing. You're not. They're still presenting themselves to you.
So how do you now assist somebody if they're ready to go into the diving board, climb the ladder, and jump off? How do you assist them to do it?
Oh, we sit there and tell them, go, look at the pretty blue water.
All
they
right.
Look over, and you hit them on the back.
And you say, go enjoy your life.
They plunge into the water, and once they plunge into the water, they realize, okay, it's a little cold, but the experiences that came afterwards were fantastic that they would have never experienced in the first place.
And
but, of course, when
sink.
We look at the situations of intentions,
yeah, wait,
wasn't
and
there intentions for
sink.
Us to push out there anyway?
Was what? Say it what?
Our intent, I mean, we gave them a little nudge, but at the same time, wasn't their intentions that actually manifested us in the first place to actually give them that nudge? So therefore, it was all about them.
Yeah, but okay. So no, wait a second. There's relationship to another human being, and then there's a relationship to themselves. And mm-hmm. If you think about life, and you think about how there's many neighborhoods where children never can get off the block because of the situation in their environment, but when you then introduce them to the possibilities,
mm-hmm.
possibilities, now their mind can expand dimensionally as well mm-hmm. as physically, and their imagination can expand and they can grow. And in that gift that God gave us to be able to imagine something, they realize that life is like a big buffet. And, wow, I can have this and I can have this and I can have this. And
I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, and when you encourage people, when you encourage them, this gives them a whole new breath of fresh air, perhaps because of their upbringing they were always put down. And then somebody like yourself, like me, like other people in the world, go in and assist them and encourage them. All of a sudden, their life just like changes quickly, really quickly. And each day, they now look at themselves and say, holy mackerel, I did it today, I'm getting stronger, and yes, I can have this, and I can have this, and I don't have to push anybody out of my way because I know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those affirmations, all of those acceptances of their own divinity will attract those positive human beings in their life who will continue to encourage them, assist them, give wholeheartedly to them. And this is how we change the world.
Yeah, we change the world by changing ourselves.
Yeah.
With each change that we change within ourselves sends out a frequency that changes everything else in our environment, which means
yeah.
The people that are in our environment also change their perceptions at the same time.
Well, not only their perceptions, but their actions.
Well, when we change perceptions, people see things differently, and they have a tendency to proceed in different directions. Because we were talking about the other day where it was like, you know, we write a book on relationship, but oh, should we maybe write a book about perception, of how much your perception can either propel you or hold you back?
Yeah, but we're not just, you know, you're coming from, you talk a lot from spirit, and I do too. But the thing is that we're spirit in the body, so we can't just be in the mind all the time. We have to live it out. We have to, you know,
no,
keep our word, and we have to take
everybody.
These,
what's the difference? What's the difference? Because people are asking about balance, and they're like, what does that mean? Well, there's balance between giving and receiving, being and doing, you know, structure and flow, physical and spiritual. Because they both,
right.
People, I've heard people talk about this too. You need to get rid of the ego. I said, no, you don't. You don't get rid of the ego. You have balance between the ego and the spirit. The
yeah.
spirit is listening to, you know, spiritual is listening to your heart and following it. And the ego is like, we use it in the proper position as the ideal motivation to keep going by what we already spiritually know we need to do.
Right, by energizing yourself and taking your feet and moving
balance.
It this way.
Yeah, so it's balance. So when people
and,
are sitting there talking about
yeah.
physical things, they should look at the situation of, do you have balance in your life? Okay, I'm working, I'm spiritual. Okay, how do you know? Because my neighbor told me. You know, we have these things going on. I'm like, no. I said, do you have balance in your life? And they go, of course I do. I don't fall down. I'm good. I'm like, no. So you have this different, say, well, you're seeing you have all these perceptions in one person.
Okay.
What it means to have balance in one's life, not realizing to have balance between the spiritual and the physical, is to realize that you're going to have physical things that you need to do, and Simpson's word, I don't think it's need. I'm just saying there's certain things that are going to happen, you know, breathing, eating, and these kind of stuff. But I told a friend of mine, I want you to do me a favor and fast for at least 5 days. And they're like, I got diabetes, I can't do that. I said, you know something that's kind of funny, too? The spirit said if you do this fasting, you might find out one thing, that you don't have diabetes. Because you're going to cleanse your body of toxic waste and that kind of stuff, and it's going to be like, ooh, I feel great. Because I did a fasting for 5 days, and it was like kind of funny because the way it happened, I was in a situation years ago where I didn't have any money for food, so I didn't eat for 4 or 5 days. Okay, your guidance comes in, your angels are saying, you're saying you haven't eaten in 4 or 5 days, when actually you should look at it in a positive realm and saying you just fasted for 5 days.
Right.
So it was a positive thing that just happened that also points out to you that everything happens for a reason.
Right.
Okay? And also in the process of fasting, I also realized that eating, drinking, and breathing are still choices. So therefore, we have to realize one thing, that we made a choice to be here too as well. So we can trace all these things back to the core to realize that everything that's going on in your life right now at this moment is you created it.
Right.
But I also step back and say, since you created it, you should also jump for joy. And they go, why? If you created it, you can recreate. You can redo the whole freaking thing by changing your perception and go a different direction.
You use that word perception
hallelujah.
A lot. You use that word perception a lot. I guess it's like what you perceive to be will be.
Yeah, your intentions. You say, okay, this is what I see. I see a beautiful person that's been popping here. I'm not going to sit there and say it because I'm not going to sit there. I'm not trying to point her out and put her in the spotlight. I'm just saying it's a situation that's unfolded, it's real, and it's trying to find a real situation to actually help people understand. Because when I do readings a lot, people say, well, you talk about a lot of things you do in your life, and they think it's bragging. It's not bragging. It's giving them a different perception that I've gone through on a human level. So therefore, they can do the same. And they realize in the process of going through these situations, the spiritual growth, it's actually emotional and spiritual growth on the other side. So, I tell people, I'm not bragging. What I'm saying is I'm telling you about concepts that I actually have done in my own life. So they're not theories. They're things that I've actually done. And there was a certain person in my life that I sat there and just said flat out to a friend of mine, I can see this as something special. So therefore, since I can see it as being something special, the next step is to take it one step further and allow it to happen. Sometimes people have a hard time with allowance because there's human concept that says there's something we got to be doing. At that moment, there's all kinds of aspects in your life you need to balance out to get that physical and that spiritual balance. And one of them is doing and being. A lot of people think on the human concept that you always have to be doing something. I said, okay, the best way to deal with those situations is to do it like this. If there's no prompting from spirit, your guides, or angels to do something, it's time to just be.
Right.
Okay.
That's funny because that's where I've
yeah.
been. That's the place I've been probably for the past month, just in a place of calm, of going within and being creative that way, because I know, I sense, I feel soon enough that things are going to start coming, are going to start picking up, and today was the thing. Today was the pickup.
Right. And then the same thing with, and then I said, if you get a prompting from spirit or angels or your guides to do something, that's the doing part. Then you do it.
Oh, yeah. And that's consistent. When you're really tuned in and listen, that's consistent. Like, I have to tell you, this guy, Stephen, in your chat room has a question. So maybe you should ask.
Stephen. Okay, hold on. We're going to Stephen. You go ahead. Okay, sorry. Don't have a mic. Still in the storage. I mean,
Stone
I think
Age.
He's taking storage because it says Stone Age. Anyway.
Stone Age.
Okay, still in the Stone Age. Oh, he has a mic. It's in the Stone Age. I got you. Okay, so we look at the situation and say, okay, he has a question. What was the question?
Can you read it?
I knew her. Okay, hold up. Can you see if I will be reunited with my girlfriend, Nancy? I knew her 20 years ago from work. We started going out in February. She was separated for a year and a half at that time. Now is going back to ex for the sake of children. First of all, we look at the situation, my friend, and say, there's nothing you can do about her going back to her ex. But when I sit here and look at the situation of focusing on the word ex, she's going back to a situation of her vision is like this. And this is why I sit here and tell people before, I'm tired of the word ex. I'm tired of the term boyfriend or girlfriend. When these people have names, they have essence, and they're individuals. So it's, in some ways, it's like a disrespectful thing. But one thing else, too, is the ideal of denouncing them by dropping them down to that freaking title, to the title, which actually can put limitations on your relationship of boyfriend and girlfriend, that it might actually keep it from actually moving forward to where you really want to go.
Mm.
Okay, and also it limits the perception of the – well, I use perception, but it limits the how this relationship can actually progress and grow. Because you're putting titles on it. When you take titles off, it takes off the limitations to realize one thing. You just like being with this person. You love the relationship that you have. But the relationship itself should also be a person, be a situation that you take the title relationship off. What I mean by that is, I'm not saying not have a relationship, but see, a relationship is an action, not a title. But people have taken the word relationship and made a title out of it. Okay, so it limits everything. You know, what kind of relationship do we have? I don't know. Why don't you stop using the word relationship and look at each other and go, okay, what kind of relationship do we have? Usually a relationship, the longevity of a long-term relationship, as most people put it, is determined on the two individuals within it and how strong their foundations are within themselves, which actually contributes to having a great foundation with each other, because we can prove this. Why can we prove this? Because it's a lady, she's with this guy, and she basically built her foundation on his. So when he leaves, she's pissed off because, you know why? Now she feels like she has no foundation. She feels lost because why? She never had one in the first place. She built up upon his, so he left. So now she wants him back, not for the sake of because she loved him. She wants that groundingness that she had with him, not realizing it was actually an illusion because she never had it. He did. And that's why he left, because he was exhausted. And he said, you know, enough's enough. You need to do something. She's like, no, I like this. This difference. You'll see the intensity. But I'm just saying, when you have this kind of relationships going on, where they're always, you know, that one thing where you feel exhausted, more likely the reason you feel exhausted because the person you're with, he's not really contributing. They're just part of. So I was sitting there looking at the situation like this. Take the relationship part off. Look at each other. Ask yourself the question, I love being with this woman. Actually, this woman in my life, I love being with her. I don't care, you know, the idea, the context of some people would sit there and say, well, it's a limitation. Yeah, of course. I don't say a limitation at all. It's just the ideal, the relationship that has developed needs to go further. Okay? Everything is a progression in life. It needs to go. Nobody has the right to stop these things, even though they do try. Okay? And what I mean by that is they try. Any kind of interaction with anybody on any kind of level will still progress to grow. So it doesn't matter what you say or don't say. It's the idea you need to take a step back and look at yourself and ask yourself why you're trying to do that. What fear within yourself is trying to keep yourself, well, actually it's trying to limit to the situation because you're limiting yourself. So you just take a look at the situation and go, poof. Okay, and look at the situation and go, okay, look at ourselves. We want to be happy. We want to be whole. We want to be complete, and we're not allowing that to happen. Okay? So, therefore, allowance is very important to allowing and not allowing, as is to... It was kind of funny when I was talking about relationships earlier, too, that these important things, situations and stuff of unfolding. And if people could actually see that picture of that unfoldingness, it's just the ideal of the big picture unfolding before you. So you're also, you know, it's just allowing, because you're all wanting your life to change in a major way. And in the process of not doing that, you're not allowing the full picture to unfold. That's getting crazy. Okay. Somebody's in the chat room with all kinds of information. Okay. I'm sitting there looking at this. She wants it for her kids. You know, just keep the faith, Stephen. It will take time for her to the truth. She needs to have closure with her children. Okay. You know, I look at the situation. When I sort of look at the situation of closure with children, when you look at the ideal of what children are, they're extensions of who you are, so more likely it's more of a closure with yourself of what you didn't do or did do, and then forgive yourself and move on. If you feel guilty about things you didn't do for your children in the past.
No, children's father.
No, I understand that. But even with him, he was also a thing that she attracted into her life too as well, the idea of closure. The children are the prime example of that, because the children are a reflection, an extension of her as much as they are him. So who is she trying to get closure with? Is it with the children, the father, or is it a combination of both?
Father.
It's a three-dimensional thing. We're all three-dimensional beings. It's not one or the other. It's actually a lot of things contributing to the situation. But also when you look at the situation, going back, that's the key right there. Okay? She's going backwards, not forwards. Because with the situation of being with Stephen, she was going forward where she could actually gotten the closure with the children and the father of the children a whole lot easier.
Hmm.
And that's what she's running away from.
Or she's going to awaken to.
No, I got that message from Spirit, so you're wrong.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But, no, like I said before, it's three-dimensional. So, you know, what you pick up, I mean, shoot, let's think about this. If you go to seven different psychics who are actually seven really great psychics, and they give you seven different perceptions. They're just giving you seven different directions you can go in.
Mm-hmm.
So so I tell people all the time, are you right and I'm wrong? Or am I right and you're wrong? Or maybe we could both be right. It's just the idea of putting together for the whole picture.
It seems that seems that most real psychics, with the exception of one or two, are pretty much on the same path.
That's true, too, but I've actually seen situations where you have a, you know. I think sometimes when it comes to psychics and that kind of stuff and everything else, like I said before at the beginning of the show, sometimes it can actually work against you in the idea of knowing too much.
I agree.
And then when you sit there and look at the situation, too, I was sitting there talking about the ideal, saying, you know something? Ask for what you want, and then go right to the end of opening yourself up to receive it. Not the middle part you don't want to know about. It's none of your business. And I'll tell you why, because I've had a lot of women, I have to say that, because between 95% of my clientele are women. They come to me and they say, who's he with? What's he doing? I'm sitting there going, who cares? And she goes, why? I need to know this information. I said, ask yourself why. Because I'll tell you right now, knowing too much interferes with what you're expecting at the receiving part. Okay? Because you want your picture, when it comes to relationships, is being with that individual you want to be with. And realistically, that's all you should be focusing on. That's your outcome. Everything in between could actually contribute to your outcome. But when you know those things, you're a human. You got that human little side. It kicks in and goes, oh, I got hurt. No, you didn't. You were stupid because you went looking for something that you shouldn't be looking for in the first place. When you look at the situation of how he feels, what he's going through, what he's doing, all this other stuff, you're not doing the work for yourself to prepare yourself for the outcome.
Right.
Also contributes to the outcome, too. Okay, you know, I'm ready to receive. Great. But are you open to receive? Different thing. Ready to receive, open to receive. They're two different things. One says you're ready to receive means you're still waiting. The other one says I'm open to receive means you're like, oh, I'm waiting for it to drop in my freaking lap. But more than likely, if you got to that point, you forgot about the middle part. You didn't really need to know all the stuff that he was doing or she was doing, whatever. Because that's their lives, which means you wasn't focusing on your own. So you focus on your own. That's why it's so important. Now, people, you know, sometimes I get a little angry with Christians, the ones I know. They're saying that's being selfish. Really?
What's being selfish? Focusing on what?
Focusing on yourself. And Christians are like, I was in a time with this one, I said, I read the Bible. And Jesus was who he was. Jesus lived his life. He didn't freaking make any, what's the word? He didn't defend who he was. He just was.
Yeah.
I said also the situation, he didn't have a tambourine. He didn't jump across the stage. He didn't do all this freaking crazy stuff that we see today with pastors and that kind of stuff. I said, you know why? Because the truth speaks loud.
Right.
The truth is the truth, and people know the truth, and they know what not. Because you see a lot of people walking out there that go, okay, I know what the truth is, and they have a tendency to walk into crazy things. They just wasn't listening to their selves. Again, we go back, what? We go back to the self. Why is it so important to be ourselves and to focus on ourselves? Because that's how we can pick up and get the truth of everything else out there. Because I had this lady, she said, you can't trust everybody. And I said, yes, you can. She goes, why? How can you do that? Because it means you trust yourself. When you trust
yourself will also tell you when somebody is not authentic or when somebody.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I try to tell her. I said, when you say, I trust myself and I trust everybody, just trust everybody unconditionally, they will show their colors quicker than anything else.
Right.
That's because you trusted yourself too as well and you saw it. But they also think, but they're also deceivers, right? So they're thinking, oh,
you'll know that too.
Trust me. Yeah, he trusts
me. You'll know that too, and you'll cross the line when you see them.
Exactly. But I'm just saying, you trust everybody, everything, and everyone. And people go, you can't do that. I said, it's like this. I'll put it right in a perception for you. I trust everybody until you prove me wrong. And then you're going to work your butt like hell to get back in there. But
well,
see, you go into the situation unconditionally, and you saw them for who they really was. And that process of seeing them for who they really was, what they were doing, and what they wasn't being true to themselves, then they look at you being true to yourself. They have a tendency to go, I'm doing something wrong. And they correct. They correct their lives because you are being true to yourself. See, that reflection, how you just changed people that you didn't think could change. Because
well,
they were
also part of that beingness is communicating the things that make you feel with pain. That's what I'm going through. I've had to do that over the past few years. I've had to stand up for myself. You know what? I'm allowed to say no. I'd have to tell myself. I have to ask my friends, can I do that? And they go, absolutely. You're allowed to say no. I said, I am. They go, yeah. So as soon as I say no, the person says, okay, no problem. So really, my imagination is huge. But in reality, it's not as big. Our fears are, in the mind, bigger than they are in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was just sitting thinking for a minute because I had a friend of mine was typing something. And something about sometimes we're doing the show. I'm checking with Skype, checking with the people in the chat room. I'm looking here. I'm like, my God. I need a co-host. Where the hell are you?
Oh.
And I was like, I've had co-hosts over and over again. And I actually had a reading on it one time. They go, that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to get your co-hosts. You're going to come and go. Because realistically, and this... And these are readings I get all the time. It's like, that is your show. And that's why it was, that's why the format came to you in the first place.
Right. So what is the format? What would you consider the show's title?
Well, see, I put it down, when I sit here and say, you know, I'm psychic X journey man, it's the ideal psychic in his journey. I was sitting here doing my brother's research, and he talks about when they say Xmas, they're not being disrespectful because X actually means Christ.
Really?
Yes. I didn't know that either. And my brother told me that. Me and him really clash. But, you know, he has a tendency to do a lot of research. And I was so funny about it, too. I'll tell my friend, I said, that's so funny. It's psychic, and then the X means Christ, and then the other was journeyman. And if you look at Jesus' life through his life, too, it was like a journey, too, as well. Because if you look at his life, sometimes I look at people and I say, you know something? Is anybody really, really reading this story about Jesus' life? Your guys, churches have a tendency to go over the same crap every freaking year, Christmas, Easter. And I'm sitting there going, Jesus said, don't focus on my birth, don't focus on my death. And focus on this, but basically it says focus on the message. And if you listen to the churches, in some sense of the word, they're missing the message. I told a friend of mine that if you look at Jesus' life, it's almost like a description of manifestation. He has a goal. He has an agenda, which he accomplished at the end, which changed the world. And so when you have a situation of a positive affirmation, when you do your positive affirmations and you're looking for a positive change in your life, and the idea of what you're trying to manifest is a better life, it reflects just not your life, but everybody concerned, and it's like a chain reaction. If you look at Jesus' life and the process of what he went through, that's exactly what you see. And I'm sitting there going, hold up. And even if you read Jesus' inserts in those freaking situations in the Bible, there's one situation where I can feel irritation, where they're on the ship going across the Sea of the Galilee. And the disciples are freaking out, and the storm's kicking in. And they're like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, there's a storm. Could you stop the storm? And ba-da-da-da. And Jesus is sleeping. Okay, it doesn't bother him.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, chill. But the thing is, if you look at the story itself, he's basically saying, okay, disciples, have I not taught you that you're powerful beings?
Right.
So stop the storm yourself. And I'm sleeping.
Right.
He wasn't
right.
being rude. He was
and
putting them in a
storm,
situation to
yeah.
show their power, to
and
show their true selves, what they can do with
their
life.
Life.
The yeah,
storm
so.
And you, it could be anything. It could be whatever conflict is coming up to you. And
mm-hmm.
Those conflicts are so valuable in our growth
mm-hmm.
from continuing the old patterns to taking that leap of faith. And then as soon as you say, okay, I'm going with it, then everything shows up to help you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was telling about the bills and stuff. I told a friend of mine, I said, I stopped worrying about the bills. I stopped worrying about everything. And it was so funny how all these things started falling into place and spontaneously falling into place and being taken care of. And then I started realizing that they always was. It was the worrying that caused the creation of blockages and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but then you can get ahead of the game and you can start seeing how all the finances are coming to you. And then all of a sudden you have major change or crisis, you could call it, or something coming up on the physical plane. And you say, oh, you know what? God just gave me all this money. I guess this is where it's going.
Yeah, that's what people said. Don't give me too much money. I can't handle it. I'm sitting there going, if he gives you the
Ooh.
Money, it means you can handle it. And you're trying to, you're supposed to find
where it's
in yourself
going.
To realize you can organize and take care of the whole freaking thing. So therefore, the idea of having tons of money, it's like King Solomon. King Solomon's would be the richest man in history and also the most spiritual man in history. So therefore, we have two concepts that most people don't put together, spiritual money.
Right.
Okay, and then we have another situation when Jesus was talking, the disciples are asking, they're talking about the insert goes, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven as it is for a camel to go through the eye of the needle.
Right.
Okay, the eye of the needle is the representation, actually what it means is back in the day of Jesus, most of the cities had walls around them, and they was only big enough, the entrances were only big enough for people to go through. So a camel had to get down on its hands and knees to go into the city, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's hard for a camel to go through that eye of the needle, but not impossible. So it's saying a rich man, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven as it is for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at my thing is look at the insert, okay? They come back and the disciples say, okay, Jesus, if that's the case, who gets to go to heaven? Now, no one ever asked the question, why do they ask that? Why do they say who gets to go to heaven? So then, if that's the case, then who goes to heaven? Why do they ask that question? Because they were. I'm saying in general why people don't sit there and go, why are the disciples asking Jesus who gets to go to heaven? What the insert, what it represents is the disciples were all rich, and so they're saying if it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven, then I guess we can't go either, or it's going to be hard for us to get into heaven. Okay, most people don't catch that, and so okay, well, they're wealthy, okay. See, so there's another insert in the Bible that says that being wealthy is not bad. It's what people do to other people.
Yeah, energy. How are you going to use that energy to benefit everything?
Another thing, too, there's other inserts in the Bible that people don't catch. Like when Jesus was born in the manger, why was Jesus born in the manger? Manger. It was because there was no room in the inn. Not because Joseph and Mary didn't have no money. Because if you sit and read the first part, Joseph tells the innkeeper, I will give you anything if you will give me a room in your inn. Okay, did anybody catch that? will give you anything if you will give me a room in the inn. We don't have no room, but we have a manger. So what it's showing you is a person of wealth in a humble situation who accepts. He accepts that. He doesn't look at himself as being too much, or he's not looking at himself as being above. Oh, a manger? I have a roof over my head. He was appreciative.
Yeah.
Okay, his money couldn't get him. His money wouldn't buy him what he wanted, but his intentions got him everything he needed.
Right.
Yeah, so we said, because I have people I talk to all the time, start your own business. I don't have any money. Who says you need money to start a business?
Right.
It all starts off with a thought and intention.
Yeah, right.
And then, and like you said, everything then, after you sit there and realize and let down your resistance to allow it to happen, everything you need for that to happen comes to you.
Right.
Even the Bible says that. Stand still, and every good thing will come to you. It wasn't something that someone came up with in the metaphysical realm. It was actually an insert from the Bible. It says, be still. Let God be God, but it's also the ideal saying, every good thing you desire comes to you. Now look at the first part where it says, every good thing comes to you. So if you're sitting there saying, why is this God not coming to me? Well, obviously not good for you. Because it says, every good thing you desire comes to you. Just like a freaking boat on a freaking river. Sorry, guys, I mean to use the freaking word, but freaking ticks me off. But no one's sitting there catching a lot of things, and you're going, okay. God, it's so easy. So out there and doing the little thing, and it was just amazing to sit there and look at the situation of the Bible, how many things in there that kind of detail the manifestation. Even the word manifestation is in the Bible. And everybody wants to sit there and go, well, you know, that's, my mom was like, the Bible says. I said, the Bible doesn't say anything unless you turn it on. And she was like, what do you mean by that? I said, because it's not the idea of listening to the Bible. It's the idea of listening to God's word, which is the Bible represents that. And even with that situation, and we can read the Bible from front to back, back to front. If you're not willing to actually follow through, it's just a book with a bunch of papers in it. It's a bunch of words. It doesn't mean nothing. The words in the Bible doesn't mean anything until a human being actually believes the truth of what it is. He cannot believe the truth of the Bible until he believes the truth of himself.
Right.
Which is the ideal, realizing that God, I sort of told a friend of mine, I was like, when you love God, you love yourself. When you love yourself, you love God, because you'll find out that you are
one.
So
what do you do with the ones who don't believe in God?
Actually, I sit here and thought about this. The more we keep focusing on our positive life and believing what we believe within ourselves, we start crossing paths with like-minded people who feel the same way. So there's other people who don't believe in them. They don't cross my path anymore.
Until
they're ready to cross my path to have
there
a realization within their own lives. So see, I don't have to do nothing, but again, be myself.
So that's where I was talking about how the road forks.
Yeah, but really, does a road really fork? And we could actually think about this and say, you know, the road is a representation of possibilities, but won't we go down the middle and forge your own road?
Yeah, but the people that you attract are going to be of like mind, and the ones who no longer are the... Because there were times in my life say I'm tired of being around people who are not healthy, who don't love God, who don't love themselves, who don't see joy in life. I'm tired of being with unhealthy people. And as soon as I did that, they all left. They all went away, you know. And then I just started attracting everybody who was, they love God, and they're so happy with their life, and their jobs and their careers are all the same. You know, it's their dream.
But they also love everything too, right? They all love all these things.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're what?
They're participants. They're contributors to human beings. They love people. You know, all of it. The whole kit and caboodle.
They love themselves.
First, they love themselves.
That's what I'm saying. And then everything else was a realization that they already did.
Yeah, it was a way to express that love for themselves.
I was sitting talking the other day about that, too. I was sitting going to Adam and Eve. Were they, I mean, when you look at the idea of Adam and Eve and say, okay, people say, well, you know, they was perfect and whole and complete. I said, nope, they still was. Even when they left the garden, they still was. It was their perception of duality that made them think there was two sides of an equation, when actually they were still the same in one.
Well, don't you think that that's what we're moving away from, this 3D dimensional reality, that right or wrong, negative and positive, black and white?
Three dimensional, we just are.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Taking off all of the shackles.
Yeah, because
right
now
the shackles.
Yeah, I was trying to think in situations of, like I said before, with a particular person in my life, when I was sitting there trying to ponder about it, and in the process of wanting, I was also, it's like when you hear yourself talk and you're sitting there going, okay, the idea of allowing means letting go. And then you sit there and look at your own life and say, okay, I really want this freaking situation. I really want, really love to have this person in my life. Because a friend was asking me, what's the attraction? And I said, you know, sometimes with attractions, it's the connection. Okay, attraction, what's the attraction to her? Okay, I was kind of stumped for a minute. What is the attraction? I love her smile. I love her mannerisms. I like how there's certain things. But then I take it back one step and I'm sitting there going, but those don't really determine longevity of relationships. Those are just things we discover about each other in the process of doing those things. But the connection or these spiritual connections brings us together because of the realization that we want the information to basically confirm what we already know. Because I was sitting there thinking and focusing on her, the intensity that I get when I'm around her. When I talked to her, certain things that I felt for so freaking long. I remember having a girlfriend and actually running into her. And I was sitting there going, that's kind of weird. I have a girlfriend, but I still feel a connection with somebody else. And I was thinking that the realization on that moment was, you know, in the process of just allowing. And the reason why it's so hard for some people, because they think that when they say, I'm going to allow this to happen, it's going to happen right then and there. Now realizing that allowing means that you have faith in the whole thing that you already know.
Yeah.
That it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's already happened.
Yeah.
It's just ideal. The visible part of the whole thing hasn't come to light yet, so you're kind of getting impatient. So some people have a tendency to go out and get girl, you know, they'll go out with somebody else or that kind of thing. I've heard this so many times where people say, well, you know, this thing's not working out, so it's time to go into the next one. I said, no, it's not. And realistically, with situations, the next one is a human concept. Because I said, I've done a lot of relationship counseling with people, and the one thing I keep hearing is, if this doesn't work out, there's always the next one. And I'm sort of going, well, pretty much you've already doomed this one. And they go, how's that? Because you're already thinking about the next one. Okay, so when we sit there and take a step back and you're like, how come I'm having problems in this relationship? Because you're not completely there. I mean, one foot's already out the freaking door going, it might not work. And I say, that's a lack of faith in somebody's, that's a lack of faith in themselves. That they can't attract a good relationship and a good person in their lives because the lack of goodness they feel in themselves. So I was like, okay, so let's take a step back. And how are we going to correct this? Lady asked me, she goes, how can I bring the love back into my relationship? I said, love yourself. And they was like, that's such an easy concept. I said, yeah, but situations, look at it like this. I read this in a book, and it said, it's not your job to seek love. Your job is to seek within yourself to the barriers to the such.
So if you can't seek love, you can't demand love. But what happens if you feel that you are doing your best of all that you possibly can in giving somebody your whole self? Loving your life, loving yourself, leaving the person to their own time when they need it, no control, no manipulation, no badgering, no whining, nothing manipulative at all, but it comes from a very high spiritual level. And you act out in the highest regard of yourself, and you're always caring and giving and nurturing. And then this person just like stomps on you, like you're not supposed to be there waiting for this. You're supposed to pick yourself up and say, you know what? It's not me. I didn't create
this. Like we said before,
created the reality to see something about a lack. And it's not my lack. It's what that person hasn't cleared yet in their own lives. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying what the situation
is. So sometimes it doesn't – you're not supposed to make that whole bond in every – concept. There might be completion in all the other reasons why you might have come together.
What's the idea? What you're talking about with the circle? Okay, the circle represents two people creating a bond. One without the other, you only have half a circle. You only have to have a bond. You just have half a circle. You know, and people don't understand that, the idea of the connection between the two of you. It's you realize it.
But yeah, but you can't. But not all relationships are. They all have a purpose. They all have a reason that they came together, without a doubt. Absolutely. But once
everything happens for a reason.
But,
once that
fulfillment is complete,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean that you're going to get everything else you want in your heart's desire from that person, because that person might not be the one to do that for you.
Yeah, but the person also represents that you will get your heart's desire.
But not from them.
I'm just saying.
No, it doesn't. I don't agree. No.
I'm not saying. I'm saying that when you look at that person who's not getting what they want, that's a positive reflection back at you that you will get everything you want. I always tell people before in relationships.
Wait a second. You just said something
backwards.
When you look at that other person, no, I'm talking about you look at yourself. If you're in a relationship with somebody and you're looking at yourself and you're giving everything that you know that you deserve, because you love to give, and this is who you are, and you're sharing yourself wholeheartedly with no expectations on any level, and you're just being yourself, you're just being natural, and the person isn't reciprocating, and you just say, whoa, they just pulled the rug out under my feet. There's no way that you can change this person's energy because of your presence to give it back to you the same way. Some people are just not developed there. Some people have a lot of pain still that they haven't cleared that you have worked through.
Yeah, but what I was saying was they still reflect back at you about yourself, that you, since they're not there, it's a reflection back at you that you are. That's what I was saying before. It's another
confirmation
that you will get everything you want.
They're not reflecting back to me that what they're doing is they're showing me who they are, and it doesn't blend with my energy.
Uh-huh.
What it does instead is it strikes it. You know, it's like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
it jars me. So at that point, what I do is I say, okay, I'm not going to open my heart as big anymore. But I have to be, because that's who I am. But I'm not going to give them too much. Like Jesus said, don't throw your pearls before swine. You can't give too much. These people aren't ready to eat it. So you just leave the relationship for what it is, allow it for what it is, and it'll take another direction, and that's okay. It's all okay. No judgment, no criticizing, no nothing. It's just what it is. And you have the faith and you have the trust and you just know that where you're going to go and who you're going to meet in a half an hour or in 5 years or 2 days is, again, a reflection of your heart's desire.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because that was, you know, when they reflect back at you or you're just looking at them going, okay, they're just not there. And,
right.
But we also talk about life being progressive. Doesn't mean they won't be either. And maybe the
maybe
idea
not with you.
I mean, yeah,
maybe
but
not
all,
with me. Maybe not
influence.
With the next person.
That's true too. But look at the influence of who you are. That's what I'm saying.
No, but it doesn't mean that we're going to get it in this life with that same person. We can influence
we won't
these people, huh?
It doesn't mean we won't either, because you have to take into account what your because where you are in your spiritual life. You cross that person, which means he or whoever also has the potential of being at the same level as you are, you wouldn't be crossing paths in the first place. So the progression of life and them learning from you, because you're inserted in their life at that moment, there could be a situation where you could get exactly what you wanted with that person.
Okay, but then you ask yourself, well, how long do you continue to live your life until you're dead and you never get the true what's that word when you have no bars on something? What is it? It's unfettered love, unconditional, right?
Unconditional.
Right. But instead, you're always attracted to someone who has their walls up. What about if
mm-hmm.
you're always attracted to someone who has their walls up and you're like cry all the time and your heart's always broken and say, what the hell am I doing this? Why do I keep doing this to myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long do you live with this? Do you live with it for 40 years? I mean, there's a lot of relationships that do that. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Out of hope and wishes and dreams that, see, that's where the messages come from spirit is, that person's not the one. Let go, and
mm-hmm.
let God.
Well, I'm saying, you listen to your guidance and go, okay, that's done, we're gone, move on. But there are some other times when you get messages that says you're not done here yet, and you try to sit and go, okay, but nothing's really happening. Well, that's because that's your timing, your perception says, okay, there's a certain time when certain things happen, not realizing that you need to change that and realize everything happens when it's supposed to happen, and when it's allowed to happen, when it does.
Right.
Because I was sitting there talking about the situation too.